what do you want me to just say anything I want to?
Yep. Oh. Okay.
Well, she's going to ask you some questions.
But first I have to say, so today is January 7th, 2017, and I am sitting down with my grandfather, Stanford Follett Sr. Okay, so now we can say anything.
Yeah, you can. You're going to ask me the questions, or?
Yep, I'm going to ask you the questions.
Oh, okay.
So the first question is, when and where were you born?
I was born just up the road here, just 300 feet from where I live right now. This is a homestead.
So on Old State Road in Boyne City.
Yep, no, Road Township. Yep.
Yep. And what was your birthday? What is your birthday?
4/4/37.
1937.
We'll use that one because otherwise there's always a difficulty, you know.
Right. Yeah. What's on your birth certificate?
4/4/37.
Okay. That works.
Yeah.
So were you born at home?
Yeah. Yeah, there was... I think Elma was born here, or born up there too. Elma, I, Jerry, and Murray.
So you're one of how many siblings?
14.
14. And you're the middle?
Six.
Okay. 6 out of 14. And who were your parents?
What's that?
Who are your parents?
Murray, Maynard Follett, and Verona Fern. She was LeBeau.
Got it.
Yeah.
And
she was from Isabella County.
And she and his mom was from Isabella?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah. This place here that I got is part of Grandpa's place, just next door. It was Grandpa's, but this was all together. Yeah.
And your dad lived here his whole life, too, in Boyne City, Melrose Township.
Yeah, he for the most part, he did work down in Southern Michigan for a while.
Yeah, but he didn't live down there. He just worked.
Yeah, he worked for some... You know, them days, he worked for farmers, but they were down in Southern Michigan.
Cool. So what did your parents do for a living?
Well, Dad farmed, but because he farmed for Grandpa, but he also worked at the tannery for 14 years.
Do you know when he started in the tannery? What year?
No, not right offhand. Because he worked on a WPA during the Depression, and then farmed. Farmed for himself a little bit too, but
I guess what's a WPA?
Works Progress Association. That was what.
It's like the CCC kind of, like something that the government established to get
Roosevelt
people working.
Established in order for give guys work.
Yeah, but what did he do?
Worked over there at Walloon on built the Pine Hills. You know, the Seven Hills, they did that. They built a park down a wall loan. And they, the fact of the matter is they done a lot of the work right up on top of the hills here, right before Laurie rode up.
They would clear it?
Yeah, cleared it. But they did everything with horses, so it's quite slow, you know. And they, but they graded it, used, scrapers. And the fact of the matter is I have a scraper up here that's where that came from.
So it was like something that went behind the horse that would scrape the land.
Oh, you hung on to them and
you could dig a hole with it too.
Yeah,
if you
dug the dirt and then they went and dumped it. Yeah, them days they didn't have a pickup truck or a dump truck. They had a horse and wagons, and they had dump boards on the wagon. They just tip them over and let the sand fall out. And the guys. They had backhoes, but they were in a guy's hand.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, they were just shovels and rakes and stuff like that. That's how they built that stuff.
Yeah. Cool. And they lived here on, you said next door was where your grandfather lived, right?
Yeah, but when he worked on a WPA, he worked up there.
Got it. Yeah. And your parents, did they always have that place on Laurie Road? Or?
No, they moved from over here. Up the road there, they moved over there by horse and wagon, who were there on Markley's place there in 45.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 1945. I was 8 years old moved over there. I lived over there for 11 years and then got married and moved over here, or built a place over here. And I've been here ever since.
So did they build the place that they
moved? No, there was a house there.
There was a house there.
Well, a house, a barn, and everything. It was a full farm.
Yeah. Got it.
A swampy farm.
Was it that house that they lived in?
Yep. Yeah.
So that was one that was there?
Yeah, that was there. That was a brand new house, actually.
Oh.
It was like 4 or 5 years old, but it wasn't... It
wasn't finished, don't
you? Yeah, it wasn't finished, but it was a new house put up. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
We used to... It was a driveway. It was a lot different than it is now. It was all... Boy, we had a rough time getting down in there because it was muddy. In fact, the matter is all the way from the old state road into Lori's. It was in the spring. It was a bear, boy. Yeah, we'd have to walk out there to catch the bus. Oh, yeah.
All the way out here?
Yeah. All the way out to the old state road. Oh, yeah. But, yeah, you get down through there, you could go right into the axle with your, you know, with the car. Oh, yeah. We used to plow it with horses, too. Plow it with, you know, the snow out.
How long did you plow it with horses for?
I think it was a couple of years.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. My dad... Pa used to plow it, this road here too, but them days when they plowed it, you know, it would get packed down, and they would disc it, you know, take the field disc and they'd disc that, and then they'd go ahead and plow it.
Huh.
Yeah.
Wow. So there wasn't any like county plow trucks that would come through.
And I think it was in 33 when they came in with a. The county decided they were going to plow it.
How long, when did they, do you remember when they plowed this road?
Yeah.
I mean, when they, not plowed it, paved it.
Not right off hand. See, that was about, I would say somewhere in the neighborhood of 60, two,
okay.
Three, somewhere along in there.
So for quite a few years.
Yeah, they tarred and chipped it first, and then they had that for a long time. But then they went with the blacktop, but they just blacktopped here, like, you know, just 2 or 3 years ago, about 4 years ago. But it used to, the road was, you know, it was just gravel, and then they come and straightened it all out, all the way down to Bowman Road. Then they, then down Bowman Road there, or down on through, it wasn't very wide. It was only like 15 feet wide or something like that. So it was kind of hard to keep it plowed. And anyway,
I remember when I was a kid. You know where Amesbury lives down there?
Uh-huh.
You go around the corner there, and I always remember it being dirt.
Yeah.
Well, going down through there, it was dirt, uh-huh. and you'd get about halfway between Amesbury's there and Lori Road, and you would be walking down the road, and you could look down at the road, you could see right down into the... Into the water, running under the road, right as you were walking.
See, this road from Bowman Road up over the hills, I think it was in 65, something like that, is when they fixed that. Other than that, it was real, real narrow. But then when they went ahead and redone that, they raised it about 4 feet. All the way down through there, clear right on up over the hills, and then when they went up over the hills, then they widened it way out, because you could, when you went up over the hills there past Lori Road, the snowplow would plow the road, but when they went up through those cuts, the snow would fall right back down onto the road again. So the road still ended up only about 10 feet wide. You couldn't pass going up through there in the winter because it was, you know, they didn't have a place put any snow.
Mm-hmm.
Then they cut that all back and widened it out, made big ditches in there, and then it made it pretty nice.
Hmm.
So, but that was about 65.
Okay. So where did you go to school?
I went to Walloon. Right, just as you're going into Walloon, just before you get to Jensen Road, up on the bluff there was a little schoolhouse up there, two-room.
Hmm. What was its name? Was it Walnut Lake School?
Melrose Township, number two.
Melrose Township, number two. Did all of your siblings go to school, too, there? Or
did what?
Did they go to school there, too, your siblings, your brothers and your sisters?
Did what?
Did your brothers and your sisters go to school?
We all went there. I don't know, but what Dad went there.
Did Kathy?
Huh?
Did Kathy?
I'd have to think. It was in 50 they built a new school down to the village. And I had 1 year down there. That was in, 1950. Kathy wasn't even born yet when they, when they built that. See, it was in,
55.
When did you go to Boyne City? What year was that? 68?
Third grade.
68?
Third grade. It would have been, before then. It was,
I remember 1968. You was over to Walloon going to school.
No, because
I remember when you went into Little League.
Mark never went to.
You signed up for the Little League from over to Walloon.
Oh, I did?
Yes.
So that would have been, 68.
Yeah.
Because I went to
that. That's when they, in 68.
Second grade, I went to Walloon Lake School. Third grade, I went to Boyne City.
Yeah, Kathy went down there, but I don't think she went up at the... Kathy she would have never went to the one up on the...
No, not
up,
the two
up on a hill, because she wasn't born until 52.
Yeah.
And they built a new one down there in 50, so she would have never went up there.
So what kind of things would you guys do as a family for fun? Like, what would you...
Slide downhill... You know, just lay downhill, and we used to slide here on the road all the time. And they, as a family, but brother and sister did. We'd slide down this hill here, Jones's Hill.
Yep.
But when we moved over there on Barclay's place, we'd go over to Laurie's and slide downhill, ski and stuff like that. But we had bobsleds over, when we was sliding over here.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had regular iron runner sleds too. But we didn't have any toboggans, because the toboggans in them days was few and far between. Yeah.
Did you guys always go to church as a family?
No.
No?
Not until 1951.
Is that when when your dad?
Yeah, that's when Dad and Mom, they wanted us to start going. But I used to go to Walloon for a little bit. Over there, or the Walloon. This was up on the Seven Hills Road there at the old church.
Was it the Reorganized Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints?
No, that was just the Walloon Community Church.
Got it. Like now.
Then they bought the school down there. But we didn't start going to church until 51.
Got it. Did you guys go on family vacations at all?
If you want to call going to the work in the field as a vacation, I guess we did.
Sure.
There wasn't no vacation.
No, we didn't go on vacations.
Those times.
We'd go for a ride. Now, and again, I remember Pa took us up on Chandler Hill one time and took us over to, we went over by East Jordan or by Chestoni, but our world was Melrose Township. If we went over to Walloon, we'd go swimming all day on, say, on Sunday or something like that. That was our treat.
And then later on, you guys went roller skating.
What, where?
Roller skating over to Walloon.
Yeah, I didn't, but my brothers, they went to roller skating over there, but I never did.
So you didn't spend a lot of time in Boyne City then?
No, I remember one time, speaking about that, Jimmy Havasco said he would meet us downtown on Halloween night, and we were going to go down trick-or-treating, and Jerry and I and Murray asked my dad, we could go down with him. Yeah, okay. How are you going to get down there? Well, Klutz is going to go down. So they was going to give us a ride. So we rode downtown with Klutz, and we had to run a chance on catching Jimmy Havasco down in the middle of town. We got downtown, stood there by the Dairy Queen, and was lost.
Oh, my God. You got lost in Boyne City.
Well, we had never been hardly off the farm, other than just going to school, and then we went to school all alone. So, yeah, we was lost.
That's funny.
Yeah. Yeah, our world was out here in the neighborhood, and going over to Lori's up to Louise, we would, Louis Jones, of course, but because, we lived right there beside him, for a long time, or to Hayden's, and something like that. Other than that, this was our world.
Yeah. So what year did you graduate high school?
55.
And how did you meet Grandma?
Well,
because she's not from out here, so you had to meet her somewhere.
I should qualify that, but we want to graduate. I didn't graduate until, I graduated in 1968, but I quit school in 54. Then I wanted to go back to school, so I was starting 64. I took a ICS course, and then I graduated from, I went to school from 64 to 68, graduated 68. But anyway, I had an old car that we thought, we'd get a little treat and go to Boyne Falls and go to free shows. They started having free shows over there.
In Boyne City at the theater?
No, Boyne Falls.
Boyne Falls. Okay.
Where was the theater at?
It wasn't a theater. It was an outdoor.
Oh, like a drive-in?
Right.
A drive-in?
Where the school is over there in Boyne Falls? Well, right across the road, that field, that was just a field.
Yeah, right.
They had a great big old screen, and that's where we went to the free show.
But it was really a drive-in now?
No. If you come north, down Grove Street, that's the one that comes past the Catholic Church, between the Catholic Church and the school. You come right straight down through there, and when you come to that corner, if you had to turn the corner, you'd go right into a big lot there. It was about an acre, and you had the free show right there. You could just park right there. It was just like a drive-in. Mm. And they had it was right there.
Take your blanket and go sit out.
And then what did they do? Like just put some poles up and then put a big sheet there or something?
No, they had it was like a big...
wooden.
Yeah, just like a big wood partition. And painted white and stuff like that, and they just showed right onto that.
Huh.
Yeah, yeah. There were a lot of people went to it because it was free.
Right. When did they take it down?
I don't know about that. They're probably.
I never even heard of that.
Yeah. They must have had it there a good big 10 years.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, it was down the road a little ways. Then they took it down.
Well, I think it was probably after we were married that they took it down.
They quit having the free shows there.
That was in 56.
But then she would go, and her folks would bring them down because that was a recreation and they're fun and so forth. Anyway, she was 15, 16 or something like that. Boy crazy. Anyway, she just sat there on the blanket and wanted to know if I knew of anybody that wanted to sit down beside her.
Your lying.
Anyway, I sat down beside her there and it took off from there.
Next thing you know, four kids later.
Yeah. Next thing you know, the sparks were flying.
So how long did you guys date before you got married?
Two and a half years, I think.
From the time I was 15 until we got married when I was 18.
Got it.
We started going together in about 54, the spring of 54. Well, when the free show started in the spring or early summer.
You was there.
And then until we got married in 56 in October. So that was about probably 2.5 years.
Got it. So what would you guys do for fun? Like, what'd you guys do to date? Like, did you go, you went to the free show? What else? Other
things?
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
We don't do much.
Because my folks wouldn't let me go out.
So you just had to patiently wait for her to turn 18,
Yeah.
No, my dad, you countered my dad in the barn and asked him if you could take me out. He had an axe cutting wood and you scared me. He was going to throw the axe at you.
Yeah.
So how did you get to over there to see her? Did you drive? So at this point, you had a car and stuff?
I had a car. 48 Chevrolet. Yeah.
What did you do? What were some of your jobs that you had just working on the farm?
I worked for farmers. Worked for farmers all the time. I worked for Ed Jensen. That was his farm there, one that Mose Matthews got.
The one on Jensen Road?
Yeah.
It was named after
way
him?
Way at the end of it. He had 240 acres there. And like I say, that was Ed's farm. Well, I worked for him a lot. And I worked for his brother just before that. I mean, the farm just before that. And then the guy that, the first farm in there, I worked for him. That Carl Stevens, that was Moria Hill Dairy. I worked for that guy. And they, that Moria Hill Dairy, that was years ago. And anyway, then they, this Carl, he had to put on a pasteurizer and couldn't afford it, so he couldn't have the dairy no more. Well, anyway, but he still farmed for a long time, and I worked for him. And then I worked for Phil Hufford up on the county line, right there where Bear River Road crosses 131. There was a farm right there on the left-hand side that I worked for that guy. I worked all over the place. Frank Paddock up there, the guy that lived, now it's Susie Wilson's place, up here on Larson Road, the first little farm. I worked for that guy. Oh, goodness gracious. I worked for the guy, Ben Thompson, that up on Sheridan Street. As you turn off 131 and turn on Sheridan Street, and they'd be going east. That right there immediately was Ben Thompson's farm. And he paid me $1.25 an hour, which was very, very good money at that time. And now there's a restaurant. What's that restaurant right there? Restaurant.
JJ.
No, it's...
Bob Evans?
No, it's...
No, one on the corner.
Right on the corner of Sheridan and 131.
Starts with G, don't it? Garfield's?
Well, Garfield's is across... Yeah. What's Southwoods? Southwoods.
Yeah.
No, Southwoods is on the other side of the street.
This is on the other side.
Yeah.
Where Walmart's and all that, or Kmart's was.
Yeah, yeah. Now it's a new...
something. BJ or something. I don't know.
But anyway, there's a...
That used to be a farm right there?
Yeah, that was Ben Thompson's farm right there. And
Kmart's and all that was?
Yeah, all the way up to Kilburn Drive, way on up, you know, where you go into... Potoski Dental Associates, clear up that was all Ben Thompson's farm. Go over to Willis Road. We put in a lot of hay in there, and he owned where you go up Anderson Road. You go up to Anderson Road, and where the Walmart is, he had 60 acres there. That was a great big field, and he owned that. He cut hay up there and then brought it down. For his barn.
Cut it with horses?
Huh?
Cut it with horses?
No, he was a tractor.
Oh.
Yeah. That. And I worked for the, and then if you'll notice right there between the senior center, Petoskey there, senior center, and that cinema theater down in the hollow there, there's some little cement pillars that I got with Vernie Rasmussen's farm. I also worked for him.
Hmm. When did you get your job at Dura?
I worked
before. It wasn't always Dura, though. What was it when you first started?
No, I went to work for Gulf Western. Oh. It was Gulf Western,
anyway.
But it was Mount Clemens Metal Products before that. And then they was the one that built that there, and then Gulf Western bought it, and then I started there in 1968, November 1968, I don't remember just exactly what year it was, but then Wicks Mechanical Components bought it, and then I worked there we stayed there. Then Dura took it over. The Dura was formed by a guy named Tony Johnson, and they he was a private guy. The other ones were kind of a conglomerate or a corporation mm-hmm. that had it. But I worked for before I went there, I worked for Cliff Gretsch for a year. He was landscaping, and I worked for the place downtown there, the Bendix. At that time, it was Memcor or Quarter Products. Okay. 3.5 years Allied I worked now. There.
Mm-hmm. Allied now.
60, Honeywell.
Oh. Yeah, I started there in 65 up until 68. Was on strike there for 6 months, and then that screwed everything all up, so we could had to. Anyway, the workforce was cut way down. We lost a lot of our work, so they laid us off. Then before that, I got laid off up to the Penn-Dixie cement plant. Mm. I was up there for 6.5 years. I started there in 59, and then when I got laid off in 1965, I went to work down at the Bendix, or down at the quarters there.
At this time, you're raising your four boys.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, raising four. Four boys. They eat like horses.
So it must have been a nerve-wracking time when you were laid off.
What's that?
Must have been a stressful time when you were laid off.
Oh, yeah.
But then we brought Vern in, too.
I wasn't laid off.
Five boys we was raising.
Wow.
I was only laid off for a couple of weeks when I got laid off up the cement plant, though.
Yeah.
But the stressful part of it was when I got laid off up the cement plant, I was getting $2.61 an hour. And when I went down to Bendix there, I only got $1.60 an hour. So
Now
I had buying a new car. And that was kind of difficult, but we made it.
That car.
And you and Grandma, you guys built this house that you live in now. So that was nice. At least you didn't have a mortgage payment to have to worry about.
Yeah. Well, we never wanted a mortgage because, we didn't want anybody coming pounding on the door. You owe for this, you owe for that. By cracky, you are going to have to pay me or get out of the house. Well, I wasn't going to have that.
Yep.
So we never put a mortgage on it. Never could see that. But we had a little house here we built in 1958. Lived in that for about a year and a half. I built it in the summer of 1958. And then 1960, I built this one. And that other one wasn't much of a house, but we could live in it. And this house here is, this is a nice house, but
pretty
easy
sturdy.
To heat and so forth.
Lasted all these years.
Huh?
Lasted all these years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So you were a Little League coach when your kids were small. Yeah. How long did you coach Little League for?
How long was I was a Little League?
Yeah.
When I got laid off, out to the cement plant, before that, I guess I seen the kids running around downtown with suits on. And I was always a baseball nut anyway. But they
did you play when you were a kid?
Yeah.
Were you on like a team? Were you on the Little League?
I had my own team. Incidentally, Oral played for me, and they talked to him. Have you talked to him yet?
Yeah. He didn't. We didn't get into.
Yeah, he played for me. Anyway. But I loved baseball, and like I said, I see these kids running around downtown, and they had suits and everything. We didn't have no suits. We didn't. Lucky even had a ball, and but we could get a ball because they had a real good team over the Walloon, a real good independent team. So we would get a ball from there every once in a while. We'd practice with them, and they'd give us an old beat up ball, and which we always appreciated. So anyway. Well, then that was playing, have my own team and so forth. But anyway, I see these kids downtown running around. I thought, gee whiz, that was really something because they had suits and everything and had umpires working for them and coaches and all that stuff like that there. Anyway, So I had to get in that. And that, my kids, because I was so enthused about baseball, my kids, if they played, they were going to be good. And so they as they started to play, we practiced all the time, all the time. And we'd go out behind the house. They'd throw and throw and throw, and so they're good pitchers. I got to brag a little bit, I guess, because there was three pitchers came out of this family, and good pitchers. So some of you, that was affected because of the fact that we committed ourselves. Well, then that was in 1965. I got into the Little League down the Boyne there, and boy, I was in that. Mark he was 12 in 77, I guess, and he spent his 4 years in that from the time he was nine, and he was a couple years in the minors, but the other boys was in the Little League too, but he spent his time in that. Then he went up into Babe Ruth and was a couple years in the Babe Ruth too. So, and then
was Babe Ruth like the next level up?
Yeah, that was in the senior division.
Because they didn't have high school ball at that point.
Yeah, but they did, but he was too young.
Okay, got it.
At that time, I guess.
But when these kids went to Babe Ruth, there wasn't no high school.
Yeah, for a while they didn't have any.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, then after Mark got out of it, well, then that was just about the time that some of the grandkids was going into it. And then, I was kind of coerced, or I guess pushed a little bit, decided for that, that I started coaching them. That was the grandkids. Well, you can't do it for your kids and not do it for the grandkids, which is, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know. Then it runs along. Now comes along the great grandkids has got to do it. Sarah wanted to be in a T-ball.
Yeah.
Well, so Sarah, I helped Sarah. Then Monty, he's quite a sportsman. So now, first thing you know, you got to do work with him. Here, I'm 80 years old and still in the Little League, so.
So you're not getting out anytime soon, sounds like.
I'll stay with them as long as I can.
As long as you can.
Yeah, as long as I can. Yeah, because I love baseball. Those kids, there was this boy, or this coach that I worked with, his name was Jason Narodka. He was Monty's coach, good coach, good, real nice boy.
Monty, my dad.
Huh?
Monty, my dad.
No.
Little Monty.
Little Monty.
Okay.
Anyway, he was Monty's the fellow Falls kid. Anyway, he told me that some of the kids were, they were a little shy. His own boy was shy. But and some of the kids would go out there and they would kick around in the dirt and they didn't want to. They'd play for a little while and they didn't want to play. And he was telling me, he said that it's hard to get those kids to play in and they're not really good, you know. It's just that. We finished up second.
Yeah.
And we beat the first place team because of your conveyance of the desire. The desire to play, and those kids. If you can't keep pushing that, if you keep, conveying to them somehow or another that or inspiring them. By golly, like I said, we beat the first place team. Thought we cheated because of the fact that we beat them.
Wow!
And we had no business beating them. That was because you inspired them. And even Jason was really surprised. Yeah, I mean, that was my coach. So you help the kids, and it really does them a lot of good and so forth. Anyway, and it does a lot for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I forgot to ask you, what year did you retire from Dura?
1999. Working over there the last year, they just whipped you, and I couldn't hardly wait to retire. Oh man, I just couldn't hardly wait to retire.
But so then, so you've been retired for 18 years then?
Yeah, that was 1999, 7th day of May, 1999, and that was darn near 20 years ago. I really enjoyed my retirement, enjoyed it.
Are you still enjoying it?
Oh yeah. Yeah. In good health, and as long as I stay in good health, and you know, I really enjoy it.
So, what do you think has been the biggest change that you've seen over the years?
Oh, I don't know. I've seen so much change that, you know.
Well, if you think about it,
the church is one big change.
Well, if you think about it, you went from
horse-drawn stuff.
Well, he went from horse-drawn to automobile, from no indoor plumbing to indoor plumbing, yeah. From no lights to lights.
Yeah.
From very humble background to seeing a man on the moon.
Right.
If you think of. And even I'm not 80 years old. I'm almost 60. But I look at the changes that I've seen in my life.
Scares you.
My grandfather told me one time. He said, "Monty," he said, "be prepared." He said, "One of these days," he said, "you're going to open your eyes and you're going to say, holy mackerel, 30 years have went by," and he said, "it's going to go by so fast." He said, "you're just going to blink. It's going to be gone." He said, and then you can set back and you can think of everything that you've seen in your lifetime. He said, it's like me. He says, I look back and I see where I was as a 10-year-old kid to where I am today, a great-grandfather, and to think of the stuff that I have seen. He said, it's just mind-boggling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's the biggest change. As I seen it, is the speed that things change.
Yeah.
You know, the transition from different things. You know, I believe that's. Yeah, I think that's probably the biggest change
is see that kids don't know how to write.
That really
gets to me that a kid cannot write. You tell them, read this. Grandma, I can't read it.
Now, they had automobiles, when I was a boy, as far as that goes, but in automobiles, and we farmed with horses and some tractors, too, as far as that goes. So that isn't so much, but just, I don't know, money is, the going from, like I was saying, when I worked for, I worked for 50 cents an hour.
I worked for 50 cents an hour?
But it was a dollar an hour for a long, long time. And Pa would mention about working for a dollar a day. But, and so from him working for a dollar a day up to, then they going for like a dollar an hour. Well, here, today, they make as much sometimes in a day that I would make in a month.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that's what's mind boggling to me. But like I was saying, you work for a dollar an hour. Well, I work for and that was pretty good money. That, think about that. That 7 or 6 days a week. That was only $48 a week.
Yeah.
And the when I hired in down to Quarters there, 1965. Like I said, $1.60. My take home pay, was about $75, somewhere in the neighborhood after taxes and everything. I don't even think it was that.
How did we ever raise four?
I'd have to really figure it out. But anyway, it wasn't even hardly that. But like now they get $20 an hour.
Yeah.
Well, good grief. You think about that at $1 an hour, that's only $8 a day. Now they get $20 an hour.
Yeah.
So that's what to me is so mind-boggling.
The value of money.
Inflation has run the run the price of everything up.
Yeah.
Because there's so much money floating around.
Right.
And then too, there's so many people. Day. Instead of now this is a kind of a personal evaluation, but people love things as opposed to loving people.
True.
You know, and they so that creates inflation because they gotta have everything the Joneses have.
Yep.
So and it goes back to you know, this business. Like I was, then I worked on the quarters there, and I worked was on strike for 6 months, and then it because of that strike, it cost our job. Well, you can sometimes that they're, you know, going, wanting this and wanting that, it's more of a detriment rather than I might say a value to you. Getting a lot of money, with two people working today, there's a lot of money floating around. So people just want.
Yep.
And it causes more problems because seems like the more that person wants and more they can get, the more they want. So
right, they become insatiable.
Huh?
They become insatiable.
That's right.
Yeah. So what's one of your fondest memories as a kid?
Oh boy.
I know you got to think real far back.
I really have to think about that.
What about your parents? Is there anything that you really remember about your parents?
His mother was a hard worker.
Yeah, my mother was a real mill boy. Now she really worked. She was working all the time.
She even played ball with.
Well, with 14 kids.
Yeah.
You're going to have to be a hard worker.
She even went out and played ball with them.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, there was just 13 was alive. One passed away when...
3 hours after.
Oh, he was a blue baby. And he only lived a couple hours. But
that was Stanley, right?
Yeah. But I don't know. I think mostly is as far as memory is concerned, or value, is that we had enough, even though we didn't have very much, but we always had plenty. I always had enough, put it that way. And I had a learning experience because of that. That you didn't need a great deal, just like with Grandma and I. Because neither one of us had anything when we got married. We didn't never had anything all of our life, so we didn't need an awful lot. So it's easy to fairly easy to get along. I mean, to make a living.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Do you remember anything about your in-laws that stands out, like your grandma's grandpa or mom and dad?
Well, I remember when. You know, I wanted to go over there and see her, and so I had to. Her ma said, "Well, you better find out from her dad if it's all right if you come over." Yeah, okay. So he was out in the barn. I went out there and asked him if it was all right if I could go. Yeah, but you can't take her deli vatting all around the neighborhood. I said, "Why?"
You did not say that.
No.
He said, yes, sir.
I said, okay.
Because he had the accidents.
Okay, that's fine. Her dad always thought I was kind of a bum. I don't know why, but I think it was because I was going to be taking his daughter away from me.
His first daughter.
Anyway, yeah, I think that was why. Anyway, but I just seen it. We got married, and then the year that we got married, their house burned down. And, well, they stayed with
my ma's mother.
Yeah, my mother-in-law's mother, that just down the road, at least. Anyway, they stayed there for that pretty much that summer. That was in December that the house burned down, and up until the following summer, they stayed there. Well, then they bought a farm over to Deer Lake, and a nice farm, a real nice farm. Anyway, her dad wanted me to run the farm. So I kind of thought that was kind of a, you know, appreciated that, you know, because now he saw that I was smarter than he had to give me credit for. Anyway, so I run that for about a year and a half, and then I wanted something of my own. I wanted, you know, but that's not all, but that's, you know, I wanted my own. So that's why I built over here.
Yep. Yep. So you took in Grandma's brother, Vern.
Yeah, well.
Was that an easy decision?
What's that?
When you took in Vern, was that an easy decision? I mean, you had your own four boys.
Yeah, the reason that happened, Vern had
lived with us off and on right after my dad died.
Yeah,
okay.
Grandma's mother, after her husband died, she went down. I don't know what the deal was there. Anyway, she had Vern stay with us for that summer or something. He was staying with us that summer, I guess. Anyway,
and
that summer they moved into town. They sold the farm and moved into town. Anyway, but he had been with us mostly all that summer. And after her second husband passed away, third husband passed away or got killed in a car accident, because that we were going to church, you know, quite strong and this and that. Well, my values would never what you call change, but they was stronger and stronger. So I could see where Vern could go,
astray.
Yeah, go astray. I said, you come stay with us. Anyway,
first off, Pearl there wanted him to go stay with my aunt, and that would have been in Detroit. And Vern didn't want to go down to Detroit, so he come to Stamford, and he says,
"No, I would. He was in the car with I can't remember if he was in
Evelyn and Frank
was in our car. We were going someplace, or I think I had already asked him. I told him, I said, you come stay with us, because I wanted him to mount to something. Anyway." I said, you come stay with us. So he was in the car. Well, then her brother or half-brother said, you go stay with Evelyn. That's her Ruth's mother's, or grandma's mother's sister. Anyway, down Detroit. Well, I couldn't see that. So I said, no. I asked Vern, do you want to stay with us or you want to go down there? Well, but I asked him in such a way that he had to almost say stay with us. Anyway, well, that made Pearl kind of mad. It didn't make any difference to me. I was looking at the boy. Anyway, so he come and stayed with us. And he was only like 12, 13 or somewhere like that. He stayed here until he was
17. Because he was in the 12th grade when he went down to Detroit
stayed with us. I think the other party was looking at was Social Security, I believe. Maybe not. But,
yeah.
But anyway, I couldn't see that. So you come stay with us. So he did.
So did you have a favorite teacher growing up? Probably had a lot of not
favorite. As I look back
teachers.
On it, yeah, I guess. This was in a high school, or in a school or a small room, and Mrs. Smollett. She was a good teacher. I didn't treat her very nicely, but she was a good teacher. I liked her. After I got out of school, I used to call her and talk to her for a lot. Anyway, yeah, she was a... But then when I got out of high school, you had a number of teachers, so you had a good teacher. But I would have to say this, when I worked down the quarters, now my foreman down there, Tom Johnson, was a good teacher. He was really good, and he treated me really royally. So as far as being a teacher, I guess he was my teacher. It was a good teacher.
So I think for as long as I can remember, I've always seen you reading. You've always been a reader. Studying something, reading something.
Yeah, I love to read.
So what would you say your favorite book is? You can't say the Bible either.
No. I can't?
Nope.
But I can say the Book of Mormon.
Nope. Can't say... I want to say non-religious text. What's your favorite?
Well, then I guess I'd have to say National Geographic. Yeah.
What do you like about that?
Well, they have... That National Geographic, they have a lot of subject in there. But what I like about that is... If I say something and I tell you that I learned this and it came from the National Geographic, most of the time it's never disputed,
right?
Because it's a real accredited book.
Yep.
For knowledge. Oh, I like that. Another thing too, what I like about the National Geographic, some of the terminology they use in there is a lot broader than what I've been used to, and what I've learned, so it broadens my word, my word.
Your vocabulary,
resume,
yeah,
so, yeah,
yep. Well, I only got an hour today, so I got to wrap it up. But I definitely think that I would like to talk to you again, if that's okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.